Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much. You can please open with me into the book of Acts in chapter number 26. Acts chapter number 26. And I want to read down from verse number 12 to verse number 27. And to preach our message as we go down, the title is found there at the end of verse number 27. It's for you to believe. You believe. That's the emphasis of our heart in the preaching of the gospel. It's for other people. It's for you to trust in our Lord Jesus Christ, for who He truly is. And Paul saw him here at the road as he was traveling to Damascus. Paul was an apostle after he was converted, and this here is his conversion experience. And he says, I was traveling to Damascus.
This one?
I'm in verse number 12. Acts chapter 26, verse number 12. I was traveling to Damascus under these circumstances. What are the circumstances? Let's look at verse 11. In all of the synagogues, I often tried to make them, the children of God, blaspheme by punishing them. I even pursued them to foreign cities, since I was greatly enraged at them. What this here teaches and proves is that every man, every natural man, until he's converted by the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, is at enmity with God. The Bible says that the carnal mind is enmity against God. It says that the natural man, the carnal man, he cannot receive the things of the Spirit. He cannot, because they are spiritually discerned. It takes the quickening power of the Holy Spirit to convert a man to be able to understand and to believe his gospel. And if he doesn't do this unto us, except we be born again, if he doesn't give us a brand new heart, we perish in our sin. No matter how religious we are, no matter how right, Pastor, we think we are anti-Christ and we are anti-God until we believe the true gospel. And so Paul says again in verse 12, I was traveling to Damascus under these circumstances. I was enraged. I was filled with sin. I was hateful to the Son of God. And I came with authority and a commission from the chief priest. And King Agrippa, all the while I'm thinking I'm doing what's right, while on the road at midday, at the heat of the day, when the sun's at its highest and brightest, I saw a light from heaven brighter than the sun. That's what must happen unto you and me. I must see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in a special way. Salvation comes by a divine revelation. And Paul will say later, as we keep reading, or you can read it in Acts 22 or Acts 9, how he was the only one who saw and who heard and who understood. That's the special revelation of God's grace. That's what the Bible calls sovereign mercy. This is God saying, I will have mercy upon whom I will, and whom I will harden. And the only thing that God needs to do to harden a sinner, a person, is to leave you unto yourself as the gospel is preached. Our natures, Pastor, are hard and corrupt as the light comes, as the truth comes. It takes the moisture of the gospel with the power of the Spirit. It takes a heavenly dew to get into our hearts and to soften us and to cause us to hear this message. But the natural man is a hard creature who must see the Son of God. He's got to come to you by revelation. Our Lord Jesus, he told Peter that flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father in heaven. And why did Peter have this revelation when other people were trying to kill the Lord Jesus? Why did Peter have this revelation when Judas did not? That's called sovereign mercy. That's in the hand of God. But he says, a light from heaven brighter than the sun was shining around me. The Almighty God in the person of Jesus Christ, he came to the Apostle Paul in the way he must come unto us, or I'll never be saved, I'll perish. And those traveling with me, other people were there, but even though he all fell to the ground at the power of the voice, I heard a voice speaking to me. It was personal revelation. That's how God saves sinners. It's not on accident, it's on purpose. It's not by merely casting out seed, it's by putting it into your heart. It's by preparing the soil. It's by him coming unto you in mercy. He's not passive. He's not standing on the side and just watching. I mean, he isn't a patient observer. He's active. When you played sports, you didn't want to stand on the side. I remember the first time I ever saw my cousins playing American football. I was only about 5 years old. They were, all teenagers. And I couldn't play. I was too young. And every inch of me the whole time, I wanted to be out there. My friends, you have to want to be in this game. This is eternal life. You've got to want it with all of your heart. He said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Don't let this pass you by. Don't think there's anything more important in the history of the world than what's being said unto you right now. The gospel. You have to understand it. You have to believe it. You have to acknowledge it in your heart. It is non-optional. It's not merely a matter of coming to the hearing. It has to get into my heart, my soul, my life. It has to transform me. It has to manifest Christ in me, the hope of glory. I have got to be saved. Because if I go to hell and I've only heard the gospel, oh, what a hell that will be. But if it's in my heart, Pastor, I'll be saved forever with an everlasting salvation. That's what you and I need. For God to come to us as he did the Apostle Paul. And he comes unto us now through preaching. The preaching of the truth, the preaching of the gospel, the opening of the word of God, the entrance of your word, it gives life. It's not all jumbled. It's not all jarred. It's not just words that you hear a man talking. It comes with understanding. It comes with truth. It comes with conviction. It comes with power. And so that Paul could say, I know your election because it came with power. And you became like us. You transformed. You changed. That's the evidence. It had a repentance and its fruit. You turned from idols to serve the living God. And as I think about the early missionaries, their task was hard, but it's a hard task now too, because everyone thinks that they're saved. They think they are practicing the Bible properly. And so it's hard to tell them, take another look at the book. But if we can get people who will look into the book and who will want to understand, they will be saved. But seek him while you can. As Jesus passes by in the truth of the gospel, how many times is he going to speak unto you before he hardens your heart? How many times are you going to not come to him until he says, I will knock at that door no more. I will leave him to himself. I will meet him at the judgment. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble heart cry. While on others you are calling, while you called on Paul, don't pass me by. Make me understand the truth of the gospel. How many understand the truth of the gospel? How many believe it as it truly is? How many can give a testimony of the scriptures rightly divided in heart and life? How many understand to believe? That's why he sends forth preachers. They cannot call upon him in whom they have not heard. And the name Jesus is just a name until you get to the name. I'm from California. There's a lot of Mexicans in California. It's at the border with Mexico. If you go into Mexico, it's a lot of little children. It's a lot of people named Jesus. That's Jesus. But not a single one of these can save my soul. And if I worshiped him, I'd be worshiping the wrong person with the same name. How many know the truth of the gospel? That's what's happening here. Paul was wrong and he did not know it. He was adamant. He was on the road to destruction, and the Lord Jesus Christ came and intervened. That's what must happen unto us. It's what will happen unto his chosen people. And so he says that we all, verse number 14, we fell to the ground. I heard a voice speaking to me in the Hebrew language. It says, Saul, Saul, he knows him. Why are you persecuting me? That's who they're persecuting as they persecute his church. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. If you're going in the wrong direction and it's painful, it's impossible, you cannot win. Then I said, who are you, Lord? A great change has happened. Something has gotten Paul's attention. He's been confronted with power, and the Lord replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. But get up and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose. Here's sovereign mercy. To appoint you as a servant and a witness of what you have seen and of what I will reveal to you. And so what he's saying, Pastor, is that while I have caught you red-handed in your sins, I've appeared to you to save your everlasting soul. I haven't come to meet you at the judgment and say, uh-huh. I haven't come to meet you in your sinfulness and to condemn you. I haven't come here to cast you into hell. Have you ever realized, I have, that you deserve the everlasting wrath of God? Has it ever come to your mind in the presence of Him, I deserve to be in the lake of fire? And if you sent me there, I could not argue. The scripture says in the book of Jude that on the last day that He will come with 10,000 of His saints to convince all of every unrighteous word and deed and thought. Let me just read you that. It's in the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse number 14 and 15. And Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied about them. Look, the Lord comes with thousands of His holy ones, His saints, to execute judgment on all and to convince all of all their ungodly acts that they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have said against Him. That means that at the day of judgment, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to execute His vengeance and to show His glory in the salvation of His people, He's going to convince people who have not trusted Christ that is absolutely their fault that they're in heaven. He's going to make them confess that you were Lord and I should have bowed unto you. I was in rebellion. I knew better. There's not going to be anybody cast into hell kicking and screaming saying it's not fair. Each and every one will know that I came to you by the gospel and you said no. I refuse. I will not hear. I will not beg. I will never barter with you, Lord. I will bow down to nothing except what I want to do. I will be the boss of my life. And you will be convicted at the throne of judgment before cast into hell. That's the worst thing that could ever happen to a human being. It's the worst thought imaginable. It's a horrible, horrible crime against your soul to sin against God when salvation is here. I bet my everlasting soul it's here. In this message, in this truth of the gospel, you will be saved. I bet my soul on it if you believe it. But you've got to hear, you've got to inquire, you've got to come near, you've got to get an understanding. We cannot play church. We have to be most serious about this business of the gospel. And we'll be saved. As the master said, what? Strive to enter into the straight gate. Don't go home and say, I didn't understand as preacher. You better understand. Or you go home to God and ask Him, give me an understanding. Make me see the truth. I want it more than anything else. I want to be saved. I don't want to play church. I don't want to play religion. I don't want to say that just because my mom, my dad, and everyone I know all is all like this, surely I must be okay. That's not what Noah said. He did not say everybody's okay just because everybody's doing it. He said, get in the ark. And he pled with them for 100 years. This is important. This is vital. And if you know God in the gospel, you know what I'm saying is right. It is bearing record in you. You understand the book. I preached this book before I understood it. And then someone came and he gave me an understanding. And now I preach it for real. That's what we need. Real knowledge. Real knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Real salvation. There's a real God for us to meet one day. For real. We've got to have Jesus Christ. And he's here. He's available. Pass me not. Pass me not. Come talk inside my heart. Speak to me. Open my eyes. What do you want? I want to see, said blind Bartimaeus. And in Matthew's gospel, it was actually two blind men to show us that what he'll do for one, he'll do for another. Pass me not. Son of David, have mercy on me. I want to understand. I want to see the true gospel. I want to be saved for real. I want to make my calling and election sure. I want to bring forth fruit. I want to know the gospel. I want to know what does it mean to believe God. I just don't want to play with words. I want to know the truth. That'll set you free. I want God in Jesus Christ. I want the real thing. If nobody else in the world has it, I want it. I gotta have it. I gotta be saved. I got an everlasting soul, Almighty God. It's a book called Pilgrim's Progress that was actually written by Brother John Bunyan. That's the author of the book he got from yesterday. It was the most popular book ever printed in the English language outside of the Bible for hundreds of years. It was written in the 1600s, and for at least 400 years it was on the world's most popular book outside of the Bible. And in this book, our brother John Bunyan pictures a man with a heavy load on his back that's called sin. And he's pleading with his wife and his kids to come with him to the place as to where he's heard that he can get rid of this load. And he's telling them that they are in a city of danger and of destruction. And he's pleading with tears, but they won't come with him. They will not go to the city of peace. Because it seems unto them that everything's okay right here. Everybody else is here. I've been here all my life. I got a Bible and I'm here. And he said, no, I want knowledge, the truth of the gospel. And so he had to put his hands upon his ears and scream as he ran away. Life, life, life! I want life! I gotta leave it all behind and go find him. There's a God to meet one day in judgment. He's coming back. People play with religion because they don't think he's real. I'm telling you from the burden of my heart. They don't believe he even exists. Or they would never deal so deceitfully. It's called being blinded by the devil. And Paul thought that he was doing right, but he did wrong. And if God hadn't met him in mercy, he'd burn in hell forever. And here I am. I gotta be saved too. If there's one person in the building that has to be saved, I'm pastor. I'm sorry, pastor. I got to be saved. And if there's one more person, I want it to be you. I want you to believe. This is the new heart he gives us after he saves us. It's not earning merit. It's not earning righteousness. I don't earn anything. I don't earn nothing. It's been earned. It's earned by the blood of Christ. And we're not living to be impressive in the eyes of people. I'm pleasing to God. We're living that others might be saved. And that's why Paul said, I know that you believe. He's pulling them. He's urging them, please believe the gospel. And I don't even want to say what happened unto King Agrippa. He said, almost. But me and you, as we look again at verse number 17, we have been saved by the purpose and by the predetermination of God. He appeared unto us to give us the gospel. He appeared unto us because he's merciful. He showed up here in this place in Ojo because he wants to save sinners. I believe that. He's come in mercy, Pastor. He's come in peace. He hasn't come in condemnation. Has not come in guilt and shame, even though he shows us our sin. He's come to give us life. And everyone he saves, he gives them a purpose in life. It's to save others. Verse 17 says, I will rescue you from the people and from the Gentiles. I now send you unto them. And here's our purpose in life. It's mine and yours. It's to open their eyes. That's the whole purpose of being alive right now. It's to open the eyes of somebody else. It's not fame. It's not a name. It's not a claim on anything in this world. It's not money. It's not power. It's not friendliness. It's not friends. It's not health. It's not wealth. It's not happiness in this world. It's not what you and I want. The whole purpose of our being alive and existing is to open the eyes of somebody else. And oh, how that breaks me. And brings me to repentance about how I live my life so much, brother, for myself. When my purpose is right here on the piece of paper is to open their eyes. When God comes to you and me in sovereign mercy, it's to make me and you his instruments in having mercy on somebody else. That's what these books are about. Men who wrote and spent their life to have mercy on somebody else. If a man wrote one book, it's better than not having any. If he spoke unto one person on a deathbed, because he just came to faith in Christ, it's better than not speaking unto any. My life is his. It doesn't mean you cannot enjoy it, have fun with it, have your liberty with your wife and with your children, your husband, your business. But it means take my life and let it be consecrated unto Him. Take my silver and my gold. Not of might, but without a might. Take me and use me. Those old hymns always sneak back up in the preaching because they were preaching. It had to be doctrinally sound unto the glory of God. That's what first came to Nigeria. That's what made America strong. Not this miracle money stuff. You pray, you pay, and He gonna bless you. What? Paul prayed and he gave up his life and he died in prison. I get so tired of the lies and the false promises. Because it takes us away from the kingdom of God. And a lie would not be so bad except it takes us from the truth that we might be saved. My life is purpose. And what glorious purpose it is. When you and I have had our eyes opened by sovereign mercy, to open the eyes of somebody else. I remember, I'm in the text in Isaiah 6, that's where the prophet says, "Here I am, send me." And I remember as I was telling God, I ain't going. I tried to be a preacher. I failed. I ain't going. You're going to have to send somebody else. But when He broke me, Pastor, by forgiving me of all my sin, when He showed me I deserved to be in hell, but He had come to make me His messenger, and He snapped me like a little twig, now I stretched out my hand. Oh, Lord God, You have to send me. If You don't send me, I'm going to explode on the inside. And sometimes as I'm in my seat there, I feel like I'm going to die. Just from the preaching of the gospel to eternal souls, the weight, the heart agony. To speak to people with tears. You just feel like you're going to burst. Like you just, how can I? It's too much. Their eternal soul. But I'm going to open their eyes, and so will you. Because that's our business. Not to earn any favor with God. He forgives you of your sin. What's it's worth earning? What's to earn? He paid the penalty. He earned. There's not one blessing I'll get ever in eternity that I've got to earn. He earned it with His blood. It's the blood of the everlasting covenant. All the blessings, Pastor, were held under lock and key until Christ died. And everybody that was forgiven in the Old Testament, it was on credit. It was foreshadowing He's coming. That's why Abel's offering up a lamb. He's killing something. Because God's telling us from the beginning, without blood, there's no remission. He told them as soon as they had sinned, that as the serpent is going to crush his heel, he will die. But he will crush his head. He will reign again forever. Victorious King of Kings. He earned it all. He earned it. And He gave it to you when you were in rebellion. Not because you were good. Not because you and I were trying to find God. Paul was trying to find Christians to kill them. We're in rebellion until we're saved. We're not nice guys in the eyes of God. There's none good, no, not one. None seeks after. They're all abominable. There's no fear of God in their hearts. They'll hear the gospel and walk away if God don't stop them. They'll go to hell for sure. If left unto myself and yourself, we perish 100%. Thank God predestination is unstoppable. I appear for this purpose. You think he's going to fulfill that purpose? Down to the teeth. Every inch of it. He's going to preach in front of kings, even if he had to go in prison. And when they sent men to try to kill Paul, all the Lord did was just tell this little boy, Paul, they're coming to kill you. And so Paul says, you go tell the army soldiers. And the boy ran and told them, and Paul escaped. They couldn't stop Paul from his mission. And neither can God's people be stopped from anything he's called us to do. In that sense, we are unstoppable. And we got a mission to open their eyes. So that's the only reason to exist. And that's what me and you are doing. This pastor's conference is to open their eyes. It's not for any fame or glory. If their eyes are open, we are happy. And we weep our tears if they're not. So that they, Acts 26:18, may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan, that's where they're at, unto God, that by faith in me they may receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who were sanctified, all by faith. And so therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I really changed. Instead, I preached unto those in Damascus first. What a great turnaround. And to those in Jerusalem and in all of the region of Judea and to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works worthy of repentance. What is repentance? It's a change of mind, but oh, what a change it is. It's repentance is coming to God a sinner through faith in Jesus Christ to be forgiven and cleansed. It's coming to God a helpless rebel and admitting my sin so that he can change me and have mercy on me himself. It's not you and I doing something. It's something being done unto us, and then we bear the fruit. It's life from the dead. It's a corrupt tree being made into a good tree and bearing good fruit. It's the gift of God. It's the work of the Spirit. It's the power of the Most High. How on earth am I going to contain my sexual lust? I'm going to repent all the time. I'm going to admit my lustful heart, my wickedness, and he going to change it. How am I going to stand up here and preach when I'm a sinner? I'm going to repent, and you change me. You speak through me. You do the work. I'm not going to play no games. A fake emotion. Hypocrisy in the house of God is great wickedness. There is no playing games here. Our emotion, our passion is real. Or I'll stand up here like a stone and just read the text. But repentance is God's gift unto his people. Verse 21. And for this reason, because I've repented, I got some new enemies now. I'm sticking out now like a sore thumb. The Jews have seized me in the temple complex and were trying to kill me. Now what I was doing unto others, now that they want to do unto me. Now I'm being persecuted who was once a persecutor. And to this very day, here's the only reason that you and I keep going. I have obtained help that comes from God. That's the reason I'm able to stand and testify. Help comes from God. Have you ever been tempted? To live up on the race. Have you ever been tempted to want your sin? Have you ever been tempted to tell God, no, get out of my face? Let the man who has not been tempted please preach.
Let me have a seat.
I'm tempted daily. Sometimes it's only like this. And sometimes it fills the entire room. And I sit in misery. And the anger of my soul is stirred up against God. You're not Jesus Christ. He was tempted yet without sin. In our temptation, even if I don't do it, there's longing after it in the heart. That's sin. And you know what I learned as I'm being tempted? To remember your friend at your left desk. Or you walk around thinking that you are a big shot. To have compassion on others. They're dust too. Satan's too strong for them. They're unable to make it without God. They fail too. And remember your sufficiency in Christ. How strong He is. How faithful. How mighty. How good. How patient. If we can read each other's minds, we hate each other. What you think about me and me you, God reads our inside rebellion and hatred towards His glory. And for Jesus Christ's sake, He forgives and comes and He washes our feet and He takes us like a sick baby and He helps us. That's the gospel of His glory. All God, all the time. Therefore, having obtained help from God, the only reason I'm still here, Paul said. Acts 23, I denied Him. I said, I'm a Pharisee. I wanted to quit. I wanted to get out of the race. I didn't want the pressure too more. It was too high temperature. But God, our Lord Jesus, came down and stood with me. And said, you shall preach unto the kings. Having obtained help from God, I'm standing here confessing Jesus Christ. Paul said, it's all God. It's all God's glory. And that's hope for a sinner. Oh, you don't think that you can make it? You cannot, but He can carry you. That's Isaiah chapter number 46. It's the one who birthed us as a baby is going to carry us even into old age. I didn't have any part in my new birth. He gave it to me. It was all grace. And it'll be all grace. Oh, that's the only reason I'm here. The grace of God. That don't stop, won't stop. The goodness of God to save His people. He don't stop being faithful. He loved them to the very end. If there was any time for Jesus Christ to have an attitude problem, it was on His way to the cross, and He washed their feet. How could He? How can He? Because He's God. And that's who God is in Jesus Christ. He's a glorious person who carries His babies home, His children. Angels are higher in power and might, and when they fail, He cursed them without any mercy. And me and you, raggedy sinners, He cursed us, and then He paid for our mercy. And then when I'm then to carry me all the way home, even when I'm ungrateful, even when I'm rebellious, even when I turn my back, even when I spit in His face, even when I'm enraged at Him, and to carry me and keep me and use me, that's God. That's why we worship Him. Nobody else would treat us like that. It's unimaginable, isn't it? It's unfathomable for mercy. Me and you. I'm still reminded of the words of a brother Samuel Rutherford. I dare anybody to find a greater miracle than my salvation.
Yes, sir.
That's true. And so I stand and testify both to small and great, whoever it is that you put in front of me, does not matter if it's a maid or a king, if it's a child or it's an emperor, saying nothing else than what the prophets and Moses said would take place. Our gospel has to be his gospel all the way from Genesis. If it can't be proven in every portion of this book, it's not the gospel that came from God. It was a few rich people. It was a lot of poor people in the Old Testament who knew it. Ruth, of the Moabites, of accursed people. Verse 23, at the Messiah, that Christ must suffer, and that as the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light. He is the gospel unto our people and to the Gentiles. And as he was making his defense this way, Festus, this is one of the governor's friends, this is a ruler under the ruler of the king, exclaimed in a loud voice, "You are out of your mind, Paul. Much learning has made you mad." That's the opposition. But Paul replied, I'm not out of my mind. Oh, most excellent Festus, I'm not even mad at you. On the contrary, I'm speaking words of truth and sobriety. What that word actually means is of a saved mind. I'm preaching words of truth and of a saved mind. For the king knows about these matters. He turns his attention to somebody else. It is to him I'm actually speaking boldly, if you don't want to hear it. For I am convinced that none of these things escapes his notice. You see him wooing. Since this was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you believe. That's our purpose. You believe. And you see him pleading with him. You believe. That's what we're all about. To take this gospel that's come to our heart by a divine revelation that's been revealed to us as me and you were on our road to hell, that stopped us and showed us mercy and gave us a mission. All that we're about is urging incessantly for other people to be. Let that be our prayer point. If you got salvation, let this be the prayer point. Somebody else, Lord. You've taken care of me. Somebody else. Why are my prayers so selfish? Who am I? Me. You. And if you ain't got Jesus Christ, then call out to him. Say, Master, you appeared to Paul. You have to show yourself unto me in the scriptures. Let me see your word. Let me know the truth. Let me understand. Let me have Christ. Let me have it for real. I want the real deal. I want you for real. Open my eyes. And if they're open, the evidence that they are is I want you to believe. That's what we're here for. It's not applause. It's not claps. It's not money. It's not praise. It's not fame. It's not to be talked about as we enter in the building. If Paul came in here today, his whole mind would be towards you trusting Christ. It would not be on himself trying to get anything. That's the power of the gospel. It makes you like the Son of God. Because you know why he came down here? It's for you to believe. It's for you to trust in Jesus Christ. It's for you to give God glory. He left it all. Now we go about in our life to give Christ to somebody else. Amen.